listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, what up, what up, Canes fans? It is the Forza Podcast. It is August 9th, Sunday 2020. And it's a great day to be a Miami Hurricane. It is your boy, Marsh. I am here in sunny South Florida. It's nighttime, but it's still hotter than hell. And as always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, talk to me. What are we thinking? What are we saying?
It is always a great day to be a Miami Hurricane, but today it is a frustrating day to be a Miami Hurricane because the big news of the day is five-star cornerback Jason Marshall committed to the Florida Gators. We all thought that we had this one on lock, man. Like, I think even his peers, like the other kids in the recruiting class, thought that he was coming to Miami. You know, it was reported by the insiders, and I'm doing air quotes here. Well, I don't mean any disrespect there, but, you know, just the insiders for like 247, like Steve Wilfong and Andrew Ivins, you know, they gave the crystal ball. It seemed like all signs pointed to the Miami Hurricanes. But here we are, dude.
For the last 2 weeks, it really has just been a battle between Miami and Alabama. And for, yeah. I think it was it last weekend where it was supposed to happen that he was coming to Miami and something happened.
Yeah.
And I don't know what. And I'm not here to bash Jason Marshall at all because I think he's a great kid. You know, his teammates are obviously very happy for him. And let me say this, I hope he does incredibly well. He's a South Florida kid. I will always root for kids that are from Miami. I don't care if they go to Florida. I love to see, you know, hometown kids do well. And let me say this to you, Miami fans that bash these 17-year-old kids, get a life.
Yeah. Double stamp, dude. No erases.
No erases at all. But like, it drives me crazy that like these grown ass men are saying that he betrayed his city and everything like that. I'm like, he's 17 years old. You're gonna say he betrayed his city? Even like, this is gonna be an incredible opportunity for him. Obviously, it's like we were talking about the other day with Gregory Rousseau. We're very sad that Jason Marshall is not coming to play for the Miami Hurricanes.
For sure.
But I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he made the choice that's right for him, right for his family. And I wish him nothing but the best.
Correct. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend like I don't care that he's not coming to Miami. I'm not going to pretend like I'm not emotionally invested in the recruiting game. Because I do care. And, you know, like my day is worse because he picked somewhere else. But I 100% agree with you in that, like, he's entitled to go anywhere he wants. We don't know him. We don't know his family situation. You know, like, he knows better than all of us. So he's fully entitled to pick his destiny. And, dude, he, like you said, he's 17 years old. So I think we all... I think it's okay to be frustrated. We just need to channel it in the right direction, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, just shake your fist at the universe, you know? Like, don't mention Jason Marshall on Twitter and, you know, like, insult the kid because he's doing what's best for him. Like,
it's his decision. It's not your decision as a 45-year-old Hurricanes fan.
Absolutely, man. And so, you know, I definitely think that there should be a space for us to be frustrated. You know, I don't love it when people, you know, like, belittle those who are emotionally invested in hurricane or in recruiting. Like, I think it's fun. You know, I spend a lot of time doing research. You know, I know you do too, and there's a lot of guys out there that do. So, like, we've put time and emotion and, you know, a lot of stuff. Like, it's part of college football. So I think it's okay to be frustrated. We just don't take it out on the 17-year-old kid, man. Like, he's just doing his thing.
So here's the thing. Who do we take it out on?
Mike Rumpf, dude.
I knew it. I had to bring it out. I had to bring it out of you.
I'm just kidding.
Here's the thing. Yeah, it
he wasn't the lead recruiter, though. I was just joking.
He wasn't, but man, why can't we get a high-profile cornerback?
I don't know, man.
The trend continues.
It does continue. And, you know, like, I understand. Here I go, dude. I'm going back down the rabbit hole with Rumpf. Like, you guys, like, Rasta Man on Twitter, and you, and it's, you know, Derek Cohen, the other people, like, you guys had me at bay on my Rumpf slander for a little bit. But here I go, man. I'm back on my BS. Yeah, like, you're right. It's a trend. You know, we recruit, even though Rumpf wasn't the lead recruiter here, we recruit every other position well. Maybe not linebacker. But you have to think at the end of the day, these kids are thinking more so than, you know, the guy who's coming into my house is Ephraim Banda. They're thinking, who am I going to be coached every day by in practice for 4 years?
Yeah.
You have to think that plays into it.
Yeah. Well, and you also have to, you know, think about, we haven't had a high profile corner, or we haven't had a cornerback go in the first round since,
it might be Mike Rumpf, honestly.
It might have been Antrell Roll. Like, I honestly feel like it could have been him.
I think it was Antrell Roll.
Has it really been that long?
Because Kenny Phillips was a safety, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was Antrell Roll. So that's crazy, man. We are one first rounder removed from Mike Rumpf.
Good Lord. Well, and Philip Buchanan. Don't forget Philip Buchanan. Yeah. Okay, but now here's the thing. So, and then Pop Cooney, director of recruiting, about 10 minutes ago, tweeted out, just says, y'all think we're – what did he say? He says – where is it? I'm pulling it up. Everyone, be patient with me. Pop Cooney says 17 minutes ago, oh, y'all think it's over, huh? Dot, dot, dot. Hashtag two rings, one chain. And it's the gif of the Joker clapping. So what now?
I don't know, man. I kind of feel like it's damage control.
It's a pity tweet.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I think it's a damage control on the hype, man.
I really think we still need to get like a big cornerback. What's the kid's name from IMG? Markavius Brown? Yeah. Is that?
I think
a few weeks ago, there were talks that he, like, in Miami were in close. He's an in-state kid, but I haven't done much research on him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And here's the thing. I'm still happy as hell with this recruiting class. Like, people are freaking out right now. Actually, you know what? Let me take that back. The 85 to 90% of Canes fans on Twitter right now they're not freaking out because they realize that we still have James Williams, we still have Leonard Taylor. I mean, we have all these guys. So, you know, if we lose out on Jason Marshall, I'm not saying it's okay, but you know, they understand that this is still an incredible class for the season that we just had.
Yeah. Dude, I'm with you. This is going to be a great class no matter what. It's going to be a top 10 class if we can hang on to it. You know, there's still some possibilities in play. I don't think the recruitment of Mason Smith, who's a 5-star defensive tackle, I don't think that's over. I'm not saying that we are in pole position, but I think... You know, it's not over. We're still in play there. I think we're still in play with Tyreek Sapp, with Daryl Jackson. Yes, the 3-star defensive end that's currently committed to Tennessee. He's a physical freak, man. He should be more than a 3-star.
I watched his tape after you talked about that. Man, that kid is like, just like you said, he's an athletic freak. He's like Jim Jackson a little bit.
Yeah, and his wingspan is like 11 feet long. So, absolutely. You know what I mean? He's just, I don't know. The sky is the limit with that kid.
So the recruiting, it may have taken a hit, but a very it's not a significant hit. We still have tons and tons of playmakers in this class who are committed to making this class even better.
Agree. I think the biggest hit that I don't want to be one of those dudes that downplays Jason Marshall, right? He is a legitimate five-star talent. But what I'm saying, though, is because our recruiting class is already so good, it's a top 10 class, I think the way that it hurts the most is our momentum. More so than Marshall not being in the class, it's the fact that we had all this momentum and Florida just chipped away at it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, and also, I mean, Corey Collier, he is announcing tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to go to Florida, too, so... Yeah. You got to think that that's definitely not a momentum killer, but it just like you said, it's a little chip.
It's a big speed bump, dude. It's a big old speed bump.
Yeah. But I mean, if you got to think, we still have three of the five Palmetto five, yeah. Which I didn't think was a possibility 3 months ago.
Oh, yeah. Of course. And James Williams, man.
James Williams.
We need to get friggin' Jake Garcia in this class, too. I'll drive down to Coral Gables and help him move in.
I'll be his butler.
Yeah. I'll be his bathroom attendant. I'll just stand in the corner with a towel.
Apparently, he had an interview with Rivals, and he said that he's still planning that. And this could be false, but I heard that he it may be the Jake Garcia train may be stopped, unfortunately. Yeah. But
boo. still love you, Jake, but geez, man, we could have used that.
Okay, all right. So the second part of this show for you guys, we are going to preview the first half of your Miami Hurricanes football schedule for the 2020 season. God willing, it happens. I was telling Jordan before this show, I'm very skeptical on it, and you know, everyone has their thoughts, but. I don't know, but what do you say we get into it?
This feels like a really depressing show right now. I don't know about you, but that first segment was depressing, and then we're going into, you know, well, let's talk about the schedule if it happens.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, gosh.
I'm going to need a cold Mountain Dew after this.
Yeah, I'm going to need a cold... something else. So our Miami Hurricanes kick off the 2020 season. I wanted to talk about something, a few notes from the first few days of fall camp. The offense, the first team offensive line. Did you see this?
I did see it.
So obviously this is the first 2 days of fall camp.
Yes.
We don't know anything, but I wanted to talk about this, and obviously it'll change, it'll take change, everything like that. But Manny Navarro tweeted this on August 8th, which was yesterday. First team offensive line, it goes left tackle John Campbell, left guard Zion Nelson, center Corey Gaynor, right guard is DJ Scaife, and right tackle is Jared Williams, and K. Leon Herbert took some first-team snaps at right tackle on Friday. Jordan, what are your thoughts?
Well, I kind of called that Zion Nelson thing. I mean, I thought he'd be at a tackle, not a guard spot. But, you know, I've been high on him. I got slandered by another podcast for that take. So.
Which one?
No, it's all love.
What the hell?
It's all love. I don't want to throw them under the bus, but if they're listening, they know who it was.
You know who you are. Hey, but that just means they're listening to our show.
No, it was on Twitter. I quote tweeted one of their tweets, and I was like, yeah, I like Zion. I think he could start this year. And then they slandered me.
Okay, well.
Cowards.
Cowards. Just cowardly. But no, just the Zion Nelson thing at guard is a little surprising.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's up to like 312 pounds or something, though, and he's very athletic. So I think he would be
exactly
a great
what
athletic
I was
guard.
Say. That's a very athletic 312 pounds because Rhett Lashley, to be in this offense, you have to be athletic. You have to be able to move, you know, have good agility, things like that. And you have to keep up with the offense. And so Zion getting that big doesn't worry me at all. I'm all for it. There's a difference between, you know, being that kind of big and then being another kind of big where you can't play on an offense where you, you know, go 80, 85 plays a game. But Jared Williams at right tackle, you know, a lot of people, I myself included, thought that he was going to be left tackle. And again, this could change, but yeah, it's interesting. Clark, our boy Ja'Kai was not on the first team.
I think regardless of whether Ja'Kai starts, though, he's going to get so much playing time because he's like who was it a few years ago? Was it Brandon Linder? That he was kind of like our stopgap dude that, like, he could play literally every position on the line and play it really well. Was it Linder? Or am I thinking of, or was it a McDermott brother?
Oh.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyways, like, I could see Ja'Kai Clark filling that role because I think he's a good player. I know you do too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just see him playing a lot, even if he doesn't start. Like, he can play backup center. He can play either guard spot. So, you know, I'm not worried about Clark getting playing time because he'll get plenty.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I know we're going off track, but we have to mention, you know, what's going on, you know, at fall camp. But yeah, great things that I've heard about Williams. Great things I've heard about D.R. King, which doesn't surprise me at all. And not most importantly, but the thing that makes me happiest, and this is from David Ferones from the Sun Sentinel, my boy. We need to get him on the show. But he says, D.R. King says Jalen Knighton is far ahead for a freshman in mental aspects of playing running back.
Love it. Love to see it, man.
And you know what? I really, and this is not me coming off as bragging, but I like to think that I have hyped up Jalen Knighton more than anybody.
You have. You certainly have.
Like, I am the president of the Run Rooster Run fan club. Yep.
I mean, you were the pilot of the Knighton plane, and you know, you got me hooked early on. I feel like I'm your co-pilot, but you know, it was, dude, you started that hype train. We've both been pushing Knighton is, you know, I mean, I think he could do 500-600 yards as a freshman. I really think that he'll be a featured part of our offense because I just love his playmaking ability. You know, I'd be surprised if he won the starting job because I just love Cam. But dude, that's gonna be a two-headed monster in the backfield.
Yeah, that. I'm so excited to see him play. Okay, let's get
into reasonable to think that he could be the next great running back out of Miami.
Absolutely. And I've been saying that, you know, for a long time because he had that home run threat that we really had. Mark Walton had it, but Mark Walton's career was short-lived at Miami because he got it in 2017. But that home run threat, like that Duke Johnson, Lamar Miller, Willis McGahee, like Jalen Knighton – has that. He's not as big as Willis McGahee, but he has that speed. And just the fact that he's impressing, you know, these guys so much so as a true freshman without even playing a snap, I love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, that narrative came out during the first four practices of spring ball, too. I mean, you know, that made headlines. As soon as he stepped on the field, people were like, holy crap, who is this kid? You know, and here we are hearing it again. So what does that say? Like,
yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I love Jalen. And David, from the Sun Sentinel, come on the show sometime. Just saying. Okay. Yes, week one, September 10th, Thursday night. I love it. At Hard Rock Stadium, UAB. The UAB Blazers from Birmingham, Alabama. They went 9-5 last year. This is not a bad football team.
Can we
acknowledge this? Like, this is not a pushover.
Yeah. So if we show up to play like we played Central Michigan, we lose.
Okay, and here's another thing. They beat Louisiana Tech.
What was the score?
20-14.
Wow. So that means their defense is as good as ours, and their offense is a whole lot better.
Yeah. But yeah, UAB, a lot of people are thinking of that as a tune-up. Hopefully, you know, we should come out and win 40-10, honestly. But they have a they have some really good players, quarterback Chris Robinson. Not Chris Robinson, he's at FAU. But Spencer Brown, he's already the leading rusher in the program history for UAB. Really good football player. I watched a little tape on him. Austin Watkins, wide receiver from UAB as well. A lot of good weapons on offense. And then in their defense, they have a really solid defensive line with Jordan Smith, Christopher Moll at linebacker, and then Bronte Harris at DB. What it's all going to come down to is hitting it early.
Yep.
Like the first game of the season, first game under Rhett Lashley's offense, you know, you got to score in the first drive or two. Or both.
Yeah, man, I'm more worried about that game than most people, because like you, it's a game that we should win. We're certainly more talented than UAB, but this is not Bethune-Cookman. It's not Georgia Southern. It's not, you know, I mean, it's not FIU, Marsh.
Shut up.
This game should, you know, we can't overlook these guys because, like you said, they're a decent team. They could play spoiler. They're better than teams that we lost to last season.
Well, and here's an interesting thing about UAB. I always forget this. Their football program was shut down a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like, and but they've been resurrected, and they've gone to two. They've gone to back-to-back Conference USA championship games, and a lot of people think that they are one of the favorites to win that conference. And so this is going to be De'Arik King's coming out party if it happens. Like, this is his chance to show the world, the country, that he can, like, even after – I mean, he played four games last year, but this is his chance to prove that 2018 wasn't a fluke, that, you know – And this game is huge for Manny Diaz, too.
Yeah. Agreed.
Like, after a 6-7 year, you have to come out. And again, just like you said, it's not Bethune-Cookman. It's not FAMU. Like, come out. They're a solid team. Come out and just kick the hell out of them. Like, come out and execute. Score early. Go into the locker room up 28-0. Go into the locker room at 31-0. If that happens, I will be so happy.
Yeah, and they have some beautiful helmets too, man. The white with like just the green chrome face mask and the dragon logo. It's I hope they wear those, man. Some eye candy for us while we're watching a beatdown.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thursday night kickoff. I love it.
That's the day after my birthday, man. So I'm gonna be celebrating pretty hard for that game. I'm gonna go all out, you know, get some good food coming, you know, fountains of Mountain Dew Zero, as you'd expect.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time.
Back in Utah, if I'm back in Utah, what if we did a live podcast watching the game, like a Twitch?
Let's do it.
Yeah,
I can set that up, dude. We could do it from, I mean, just spitballing. If we could do it from your place, we could hit up Wing Coop, dude. Just get hundreds of chicken wings.
Hundreds.
hundreds of chicken wings.
We're just passed out and bloated.
Yeah, I'd do that, though. Or, you know, we could also, if that didn't work, we could do it elsewhere. But, you know, just spitballing here, Marsh.
No, definitely. Okay, prediction for that game. What's your score prediction?
I do think De'Arik King is going to have a coming out party. I think we are going to get up big in the 40s, and then I think they're going to play some catch up and air it out late in the game. So I'm going to say 41-24, but I don't think it's going to feel that close.
I feel that. I like that. I'm going to say 38-10.
Okay.
I think our defense plays really, really well. I think that – I'm going to say Nesta Silvera has a big game that game, and I think Bubba Bolden has an interception.
Okay. I like that. Dude, here's my prediction. De'Aaron King has a long rushing TD, and D. Wiggins catches a bomb for a touchdown.
Well, and here's the thing. So Manny Navarro said that De'Aaron King and D. Wiggins' chemistry is incredible right now. So.
Well, that's what I love to hear, man. For no reason at all, I am so on board the D. Wiggins bandwagon. I just, you know, I've never even watched an interview with the young man, but I just love him.
Side note, I really enjoyed this episode so far. I really like this so far.
Me too. I think it's good.
Is that okay? Is that okay to say? Okay. All right. Absolutely. The Canes are 1-0 now. 41-24, 38-10. I don't care how we get it done. Just get it done. Next game up the following Saturday is at Louisville on September the 19th. Of course, we beat Louisville last year 52-27. That was a much different Miami offense. That was a much different Miami team. Louisville obviously has a lot of, you know, they have Tutu Atwell, who is, I think he runs like a 3.240.
Yeah. 3.2.
He's like one of the fastest players I've seen in a long time. He is fast as hell.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's an incredible player. Who was it today that on Twitter someone asked who the best high school football player they've ever seen was? I think it was someone who's currently committed to play for Miami. They said Tutu Atwell.
Really?
I can't remember which player it was, but it's a guy that we're either heavily recruiting or that is already committed to be in this upcoming class. And it's one of the big names. I wish I remembered who it was. But yeah, he said Tutu Atwell.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And then they also have very good running back, sophomore, Javion Hawkins. Yeah, Javion Hawkins. He rushed for 1,500 yards last year as a true freshman. Very, very good. How do you say the quarterback's name? Mikhail Cunningham?
I think so, man. I think Mikhail Cunningham. I think so.
Yeah, he's kind of like a De'Aaron King, dual threat, 22 touchdowns last year, ran for almost 500 yards. You and I were talking about this before the episode started, and you think that this could be a tough game for the Canes, and I think that too. No one wants to believe Marsh when I say the Canes could have a rough time, but why do you think so?
So here's the thing, man. They are returning. That trio that you just mentioned on offense is very, very dynamic. They're returning, let's see if I got this right. They're returning almost their entire two deep on defense. Their defense was horrible last year. And, you know, a lot of people bring up the fact that we drubbed them. Here's the thing. Their defense is better. And that game, Jaren Williams was humming, dude. And we all know how talented Jaren can be. And he was firing on all cylinders. So who's to say that our quarterback doesn't have the game of his life against Louisville this time? You know, like we can't just chalk that up to like that's what happens 10 out of 10 times. You know, he broke a school record that's been standing for a long time. So, you know, it's you don't have those games all the time.
Yeah, and that's one of the few games that everything works.
Yes.
On offense. Like, I mean, Jaren's first quarter stats, I think he was like 8 for 8, 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. Yeah.
Dude, and that's the football equivalent of when what's his name? When Klay Thompson scores 31 in a single quarter. You know what I mean? Like those happen. Like good players just have those games sometimes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and Louisville, they're not a bad team either. They went 8-5 last year. Coach Scott Satterfield is doing a great job. He did a great job last year as first year head coach. But also, aside from Tutu Atwell, they got, you know, Des Fitzpatrick, who's a good receiver. Yeah. But the defense, Louisville's defense is the biggest question mark for them. So just like with UAB and just like with every game, especially on the road, this is where the Hurricanes have to strike early and keep that lead. Like you can't have a situation like Pitt last year or a Pitt a few years ago where you kind of just, you know, play patty cake for the first 3.5 quarters. You know, you have to put points on the board early, take the home team's energy out of it and let our defense eat, because our defense isn't going to give up a big lead.
I agree. One of the things that worries me is, so this is week two, right? The first Power 5 opponent that we will play. So we have a new quarterback and a new offensive system, and they're returning all of their stuff. So that could be something to think about, you know, yeah. Is that they're going to have a lot more chemistry. They're going to have less bugs to work out of their offense than we will, potentially, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm worried about this game, man. I'm not going to call it a loss, but I'm certainly worried about it. I do not think that this is this is our third toughest game on the schedule, in my opinion.
Ooh, hot take, Jordan. Hot.
Yeah,
honestly, that's not a bad take either, because we talked about it the other night. How many times in the past 15 years, and you and I are all aboard the, this is not the same Miami that we've seen in the last 15, 20 years, but there's still that, this is the kind of game that we have struggled with or lost in the past 15 years.
Yeah, I think it's easily tied with Virginia Tech, in my opinion, as our third toughest game. I just don't see this team as that worse than Virginia Tech. And we're playing on the road, and it's early. It's early. We're going to have some kinks to work out, man. We've had a lot of turnover on this team so far. So, new offensive system.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Okay, score prediction time. What are you saying?
Oh, man. You know what? This is how confident I am about Rhett Lashley, man. Last time I said 42 points, I'm going to go with, let's go 38-34 Miami Hurricanes.
Ooh, you think we're going to give up 34 points, huh?
I do, man.
Okay.
Tutu Atwell's ridiculous. He can score on special teams. Like, he's a threat to score every time he touches the ball.
The biggest key to this game is DJ Ivy and Al Blades.
Yeah.
And our linebackers.
Zach McLeod is, you know, and we've been hyping up these young linebackers that are really fast. We're going to see just how fast they are this game.
Yeah. I mean, Louisville is a very, very fast team. They're the kind of football team I love to watch, honestly, on offense, because they're quick. Kind of like a Red Lot Lashley offense. I am going to say 31-21 Canes. Okay. Let's go back. 27-20.
Okay.
I think it's going to be closer than people anticipate. It might even be a field goal game. This is the kind of game where, Bora Dallas is going to have to kick some big field goals, I think.
I'm worried about this game, man. Anyone who tells you otherwise, they got their fan goggles on if they're not worried about this game.
Means fans have fan goggles on? No.
Let me pose this to you, man. So maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but look at the next two games. We got Florida State and then Clemson.
Oh, God.
And think about the history of our team in the last 15 years. What if we drop this game? What happens the next week when we play FSU?
Well,
I mean,
let's move on to Florida State then.
Dude, our locker room culture is such that we do not bounce back from losses very well.
No, we do not. But hey, TNM, baby. New Miami.
I hope that Manny is changing that, but that culture has outlasted many a coach.
Yeah.
That stayed for like five straight coaches. So if we drop that Louisville game, man, our whole season's in trouble. Because then we play our rival Florida State. And if we drop that game, then we go into Clemson and we get drubbed.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, we were so positive there just for a second.
I know. I'm just saying, man. I've lived this story so many times. Well, I remember Duke breaking his ankle at Florida State, and then we lose like every game for the next decade. because we were so butthurt that we lost the, you know, the best team in the country. It's like, really? Come on, get over it.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, we not just that decade, but that season. We lost, like, every game for the rest of that season.
I know, and that happens every single year. I mean, think about the 9-4 Mark Richt season. We go on a 5-game win streak, and then we go on a 4-game lose streak, and then a 4-game win streak.
Well, and think about the second, and then how about the second Mark Richt season? We end the year on a 3-game losing streak, and then we lose to LSU to begin the next year. Later in Mark, and then in Mark Richt's third season, we have another 4-game losing streak.
Yeah, dude, it is, like... We have to be able to lose and not lose our confidence. And I think, I don't know, man. I don't know if it's like the coaching style that people have done here, thinking that they've figured out the school. But, you know, our school is, we're such a hype fan base and a hype program. You know, we thrive on things going well. But I mean, I guess use it as an allegory for fan attendance, man. Like, when things are hype, the fans are showing up, you know, and then you lose once and fans don't come back the next week. Like, that's our players' mentality as well.
And what happens?
Or has been.
And what happens if you lose that game? What happens to some of those recruits? Like, Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
That is a, obviously, every game's a must win, but that's a must win.
I think recruits would, you know, I think if we lose that Louisville game, our big name dudes, they're going to start sending some text messages around, you know, they're going to hit up Nick Saban at 3 a.m. be like, you up? You know, that kind of thing. And then I think we could keep the class intact a little bit, but the next time we lose, you know, maybe then a Clemson loss and we're sitting there at 2-2. And then guys are starting to look around and being like, I don't see much that's new with this program.
Yeah.
You know, and then if we drop one to Virginia Tech, and then they're gone because it's literally the same old story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Week 3 with those bastards from Tallahassee. Rivalry week. September 26th, FSU is in South Florida. I'm already getting excited. I'm already sweating. Obviously, FSU is, they're going through some things. Last year, 6-7, Willie Taggart gone. We got Mike. They have Mike Norvell now. And they're a big question mark. Very big question mark, kind of just like Miami. Biggest question mark for them, I think, is the quarterback. Is James Blackman going to be able to do it? I don't know.
Here's my take, honestly. If we lose this game, it's because we beat ourselves.
Yes.
We have no business losing this game. There is, I mean, they have that one D tackle. Isn't it Marvin Wilson is his name? Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So other than him, there's not a single player on that roster that I'm worried about.
Tamarion Terry, the receiver. Yeah. He's good. I think he is good as hell. He's kind of like Jeff Thomas, but better. He just hasn't had a quarterback.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's good. Like he'll go to the NFL and do well, but I'm not worried about him like I'm worried about Tutu Atwell. You know, I'm not worried about him like completely gashing our team and changing the game, if that makes sense.
Oh my, James Blackman is only a junior.
Are you serious? I remember him going up against Stephen Morris, man.
Bro, he was there against Ken Dorsey.
I know. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was a redshirt senior way back when Brad Kaya was still on the team.
I mean, they have a good quarterback, Jordan Travis. He's a sophomore. I like him. I'll be very interested to see if he pushes Blackman for the starting job. But Terry, I mean, he had 19.8 yards per catch last year, which is insane. What did he do against us though? He did nothing.
Yeah. All I'm saying is like nobody scares me on that team. There's You know, because we talk about Louisville and we're like, oh, well, they had this three-headed monster on offense. You know, their defense is coming back. Dude, when we talk about FSU, like, I'm just not worried about it. You know, what I just barely said is valid. Like, if we drop that Louisville game, we could just completely poop our pants. You know, like we've done so many freaking times in the last 15 years. That's very possible. But if we even play a half-decent game, I'm just not worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, you got Terry, you have Marvin Wilson. Asante Samuel is a good cornerback, and I don't even know how to pronounce his name, but their safety, Hamza, Nazaruddin, something like that. He's a good safety. They're kind of like Miami. Miami in the past years. Talented players. They just don't have the roster to put together a really good team. And I honestly think they're going to struggle. One point I wanted to make is that they just got a transfer running back. He was just approved from Texas A&M, Joshua Corbin. I like him. I think he could be good. Again, it all comes down to us scoring. But the thing is, this is Miami, Florida State. I've never seen, besides the year that Dalvin Cook, when Jameis Winston was there and they won a national championship, that's really the only blowout I've ever seen in this rivalry. And 2010, when Christian Ponder literally baptized Miami in Sun Life Stadium. But this is always a close game. You can never say that it's going to be a blowout. Let me rephrase that. I've never seen Miami blowout at Florida State. Last year, yeah, we won by 17 points, but I mean, it was a one possession game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So
I'm with you, man. I don't think that this will be a runaway easy game. I'm very confident going into it. I think Florida State could easily go 2-8 or 3-7.
They have a tough schedule, dude.
They do. And I don't say that as like, you know, I don't say that as the type of fan where I also think Florida is going 5-5. You know, I legitimately think they could go 3-7 this year. Their schedule is very tough, and they are struggling as a program right now.
I want to just check their schedule really quick because it really is hard. Okay, so they open up against Georgia Tech, and then they play Samford. Which, I mean, they've almost lost to Samford a few times. Then they play us. Then they go to Notre Dame. Then they play UNC. Then at Louisville, against Pittsburgh, at NC State, against Clemson, Virginia, and then Duke. So, I mean, okay, maybe it's not as hard as I remember, but those first, like, that first month and a half with us, Notre Dame, UNC, and Louisville, they may start the season. Oh God. Oh God. They may start the season. Like, what if Georgia Tech beats them? Which very well could happen.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
What if they start the season?
They beat us last year.
One, two. Oh God. That's I do. I was more mad at that game than the FIU game.
Yeah.
Ugh. 1-1, 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4. They may start the season 1-5.
Yeah.
Looking at the schedule. Because Notre Dame, I think, could contend for the college football playoff. I think they're a really good football team. It could be tough, but Florida State, more games than anything, you said it perfectly earlier. You can't beat yourself. Like, you can't miss field goals. You can't have, bad punts. You can't let them convert third and longs. You can't drop interceptions. You can't drop passes. Like, this is the kind of game, rivalry games, where the game hinges on one play.
Yes, I agreed. And even though, like I said, we have no business losing this game, they're going to bring their best, because remember this, they don't play Florida this year. So their biggest game of the season, if they, you know, I think most people are pretty sure they're not going to be contending for the Atlantic this year, right? We're going to be their biggest game of the season because we're their only – what?
Contending for the Atlantic, Florida State.
I know, right? But
yeah, I mean, we won't see them in Charlotte.
Yeah, you definitely won't see them in Charlotte. I mean, maybe they'll go sit in the stands just to watch some good football. But, yeah. You know, we're going to be their Super Bowl. They're not playing the Gators this year. So we're their only rivalry game. So, I don't know, man. I'm excited about everything.
Score prediction.
Uh, 34 to 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Mine's pretty close to that. I'm gonna say 24-13.
Okay. Well,
I think the offense is gonna struggle a little bit this game. You know, it's a rivalry game. You get a little too over emotional and you make mistakes early. But I think Derek King caps it off with like a 50-yard touchdown to put it away in the fourth quarter.
Cool.
Does that work?
That works. Before we move on, I need a bathroom break. I have drank like 4 gallons of water today. So.
Okay, so we're 3-0 right now, hopefully, with our predictions. And we have a bye week on October 3rd. And then on October 10th, we go to Clemson.
Eesh. You know, I was kind of hoping that Trevor Lawrence would opt out, but judging on his Twitter feed, I think there's no way. He just wants to play some football, man.
And you know what? He had a tweet today that I really, really admired, that I really I really liked. Because, and on a side note, I mean, just looking at how these kids want to play so much. And He says, let's work together to create a situation where we can play the game that all of us love. Not divide and argue. There is a way forward.
Yep.
So,
Well,
kids want to play. So, but yeah, Clemson. I mean, I honestly think that Clemson will win the national championship this season. What do we have to say? I mean, Trevor Lawrence. I love Trevor Lawrence. I think he is just an incredible football player. He's an incredible leader. Ever since that dude could have won a national championship as a 16-year-old.
Oh yeah,
he's good. Yeah, he's so good, man. And then their running back Travis. I can never pronounce his last name.
Etienne.
Yeah. I think he is tremendous.
Oh yeah, I would have said before the draft last year that he should have been the first running back off the board. He was my favorite. And, you know, that might be a hot take. I know people had him as like a second or third rounder. He's my favorite back in college football last year, and he is again. Like, I just think he's so tremendously talented. I think he's very – I think Lawrence gets I don't want to say too much credit because he's incredible and should be the number one pick. But, you know – Etienne should get more, you know, a share of the praise for how good Clemson is because he's an incredible player.
Absolutely. Dabo Sweeney's just done an incredible job. You know, aside, I mean, I'm not here to talk about politics and how he's handled this whole situation, but the way that he's resurrected that program and turned it into the monster that it is right now. Here's a stat for you. The fact that they have the best quarterback in the country and the best running back in the country, it's just unfair. Here's a stat for you. In the last 8 games last season, Trevor Lawrence threw for 22 touchdowns and 0 interceptions.
Jeez. That's incredible. And, you know, you said they have the best QB and the best running back. If Justin Ross is healthy, how many wide receivers are better than him?
Yeah. But here's the thing. They don't have T. Higgins anymore. So That's at least one thing.
Yeah, but honestly, though, dude, I think me and you could go out like me and you could be playing wide receiver for Clemson and they'd still be really, really good.
Yeah.
I could be catching 6-yard slant routes over the middle all day, man.
Yeah. And they have good receivers. Joseph Nada, I think his name is. And then what's his name? Frank Ladson. So Clemson obviously has an incredible weapons. They're a powerhouse. This is good. I don't think many people are predicting Miami to win this game. You know, they have good defense. James Glasky at lad linebacker, and it's Clemson. Like, what do I have to say? Amari Rodgers at receiver, I really, really like him. Jordan McFadden on the offensive line. You know, Darion Kendrick at cornerback. The team is just loaded with NFL talent. It reminds you a lot of how the Canes were back in the day. And I think what we're all hoping for as Hurricanes fans is, I don't think a lot of us, at least the sensible fans, aren't expecting us to go into Death Valley and win. We just don't want it to be a blowout.
Yeah, I think people are going to want to hear us predict a win there. But honestly, man, like, I'm with you. I'm predicting Clemson to win it all. So can we just agree that we shouldn't, like, we're not a team that should beat Clemson, but let's just all predict a Clemson win and then be surprised and hype if it happens.
Absolutely. Like,
I don't want to be disappointed in losing to the best team in college football. So I'm not going to predict a win.
Yeah. The Canes defense, this is going to be their moment to shine. This is going to be like a test for them. Like, if we can just make them struggle early, and the offense, they're going to do their thing, hopefully, but just the defense is going to have to be able to slow down Trevor Lawrence in the pass game. And also, I mean, he's dangerous when he's running the football too. So
yeah.
What's your prediction, score prediction?
Oh man.
This is a tough one.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I'm going to say 34 to 20 for Clemson.
Okay. That's almost the, I'm saying 31-17 Clemson.
Okay.
And I think that's fine. You know what? Like, if any fans are really like mad that we're predicting this, then get, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, go back and watch the last 15 years and tell me that we're dumb.
Well, and you don't have to do that. Just go back and look at Clemson. Just look at Clemson.
Yep.
Like, this game isn't even a fact of, you know, the last 15 years for the Canes, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just that Clemson is probably the best team in college football, and besides Alabama, the best team in college football over the last 5 years. Like, they're a powerhouse.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Well, I mean, they're like a dynastic type program. It wouldn't surprise me if they win a lot over the next few years.
Hey, hats off to them, man.
Yep.
You got to give it to them. Okay. 3-1. We are then looking at, we're back at home at Hard Rock Stadium on October 17th against Pittsburgh. Obviously, last year we had it wasn't a thriller until the last minute. It was probably one of the most boring football games I've ever watched in my life as a Hurricane fan. I believe the final score was 16-12. KJ Osborne, who is gone and now signed a contract to the Vikings. Hell yeah, KJ. He scored the game-winning touchdown from Jaren Williams, who came in, replaced Nicosi Perry. But Pittsburgh is always a team that kind of gives us a little trouble, man. Pittsburgh they're very risky.
Yep.
So, Pitt is a team that I think a lot of people might be not sleeping on, but everyone agrees that they will be, you know, maybe not in contention, but they're going to be a tough team. They don't have too many weapons on offense, I will say that. Like, their offense, I don't get. Like, Kenny Pickett is – he's still there, I think, at quarterback. He's good, but the Canes defense, I mean, we shut him down last year.
Is Kenny Pickett really still there?
I'm pretty sure. Let me check.
I mean, you would be right. Like, but he was the friggin' kid that busted our 15-game win streak after we went 10-0.
Yeah.
That's how old he is, man.
That seems so long ago.
I know. Like, you're right, because he was a true freshman, so he'd be a senior now. But geez.
Okay, so he is a senior now, and he's an All-American candidate, Davey O'Brien Award candidate, Johnny Unitas candidates, but
beat the number two team in the country as a true freshman.
Yeah, threw for nearly 3,100 yards last year. But here's the thing. But his stats were like 13 touchdowns and 9 picks. Like, it's not crazy. Like, yeah, every other game, I remember their bowl game, he threw for, like, almost 400 yards. But then, like, against Miami, he, like, didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, Pittsburgh, yeah. Pittsburgh is a team that, I'm always a little scared. And they ran the ball very well last year. Not against us, obviously, but I think they had 2,000-yard rushers last year, but they got A.J. Davis at running back. So this is a game where I could see Miami winning comfortably. Yeah, what say you?
I'm with you there. I think this is one of the games that I'm just confident for some reason. You bring up a lot of good reasons of why we shouldn't overlook them. But this is a game that I'm fairly confident for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Even though Kenny Pickett is the destroyer of our dreams.
did he even play like that well that game?
If I remember right, I was frustrated because I don't think he played like that well, but it was well enough that I kept doing my thing that I always do. And then I'm, like, waving my arms around, and I'm, like, looking around talking to nobody because no one watches Kane's game with me. And I'm like, how is it that they pull this 18-year-old kid out of nowhere? And, you know, how do all these teams find good quarterbacks and we can't find any?
Yeah.
You know? Every single freaking year besides the Brad Kaya years, we are looking around like, why does our quarterback suck so bad?
The biggest play that stuck out to me that game was it was like on a 4th-and-1, I think, and Pickett did a bootleg and he ran it in for a touchdown.
Yeah, I remember that. So I don't know if I'd say he was that good, but he was definitely good enough that I was like looking around like, where do they find these kids? How come our coaching staff can't find them?
Yeah, Pittsburgh on offense doesn't concern me. It's their defense. I mean, they were number one in the country last year in sacks per game. And they had I think their defense was like 14th or 15th last year. I mean, they have a very, very good defense. They got 8 starters returning, very good defensive line. Jalen Twyman, I don't know how to pronounce his name. He had, I think, 11 sacks last year. Very good player. Patrick Jones Jr. II, also a very good player. This could end up being a defensive struggle, which I feel like most games with Pitt is, because the year that they broke our undefeated streak in 2017, it was a defensive struggle, I feel like, for most of the game. 2018, I believe the score was 24-3, but that was because of DJ Dallas' punt return, and the offense, honestly, for us, didn't do diddly shit that game. We, like, sucked on offense, but somehow we scored 24 points. Our defense gave up less than 100 yards of total offense, and then last year, obviously, it was a defensive struggle in the rain in Pittsburgh, so I think this game is going to be a battle of the defenses.
Agreed. And we're going to have some Clemson hangover. Remember that. You know, exactly. I mean, both of us just predicted a pretty, not a blowout, but like a very healthy loss to Clemson, right? So yeah,
a healthy loss. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I'm with you. I think this could be more of a defensive battle. I think, you know, there's going to be some growing pain, so I am going to go 21-13.
Okay. All right. Huh. I got to think about this one. Because that defensive line, man, this is going to be a game where our offensive line sets the tempo and sets the tone. Like, if we are able to run the ball against them, then we can win comfortably. Because, I mean, they return 8 starters, but the core of their defense is, I believe, the front four or the pass rushers. And so, and they have a very, very good duo at safety. I will say that. Paris Ford, he was first team all ACC preseason that they just released. And DeMar Hamlin is also a very good safety. And so I think this is a game where Cam Harris and the offensive line are going to have to take over.
Yeah.
So, and maybe this is a game kind of like 2 years ago where, like, DJ Dallas broke a punt return. Maybe Jalen Nyland breaks a punt return, or Mark Pope breaks a punt return. Like, I hope so. This is going to be a game where we need a special teams big play to help us win. And so I'm going to say 24-10.
Okay.
24-10. I really just have high hopes for our defense, even without Greg Rousseau. And yeah. Kenny Pickett, I just don't think he has – he's a fine quarterback. He just doesn't have that many weapons. And so, yeah, I'm going to go 24-10. We go to 4-1. And, okay, the final game that we are previewing is – this episode is October 24th against the Virginia Cavaliers, coached by former BYU head coach, the Storm and Mormon – Bronco Mendenhall, your
he's
boy.
He's your nemesis. He's your nemesis.
He is my nemesis. I mean, because the Utes are my second team, like, I don't like BYU. And yeah. So, and Bronco always had success against Utah, too. So,
Bronco's a good coach, man. BYU is so dumb to let him go.
Well, and he's a good coach at Virginia. They went to the Orange Bowl last year.
Yeah, he's really, like, he is that. I definitely think under Bronco, I think he'll be there a long time. I think they'll be the type of team where when he gets a really good class of juniors and seniors, they'll make some noise, you know, and contend for the coastal division. But then, you know, he'll have to rebuild that talent. So, like, this year, I don't think they're going to be that great. An average 500, you know, maybe a 7-5 type team. So I'm not too worried about this, but he's a good coach, and he's definitely making Virginia a much better program than he found.
Yeah. I'm trying to find out who their quarterback is. I think it's going to be
I don't think they've named a starter yet.
No, they haven't, because Bryce Perkins, who I believe was one of the most overrated players in college football, he is gone. He's dangerous. He was dangerous, you know. But – yeah, I think this is going to be a rebuilding year for Virginia. And so – and I think this is a game before a bye week, before we go up and play NC State. Oh, God, bye weeks. Oh, Lord. Oh, the pain of bye weeks. I hate bye weeks. Why do we have so many bye weeks again this year?
Yeah. I don't even tell my girlfriend when it's a bye week. I just pretend like I'm still anticipating a big game. I just watch other teams, man.
Yeah, like I hate bye weeks, man. Like last year we were 0-4 off of them.
Yeah.
Like 0-4. So I mean, obviously this one isn't off of a bye week, but you got to think if we are 4-1, if we can be 3-1 after Clemson. And then win against Pitt and Virginia heading into that bye week at 5-1. You got to think we'll be in the top 25. And absolutely. If we are at 5-1, I will be so happy.
And, you know, I think if we have a good showing at Clemson, I think we'll be in the top 20. I think we'll be in that 15, maybe 14-17 range. If we're sitting there 5-1, you know, fairly convincing wins besides Clemson. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And Virginia, they're just a weird team. I hate Virginia just because of how they just annihilated us in the final game of the Orange Bowl. I still have a horrible memory from that. I hate Virginia. But they are returning their running back, Wayne Taulapapa, I think probably a Polynesian. I don't know how to pronounce it.
No, you're fine. It was just it was your inflection that made me laugh.
Yeah, Papa.
Yeah.
But yeah, nobody on their roster really. I mean, Terrell Jana, he's an okay wide receiver, but I know their linebackers are a question mark. I know their defense is a question mark. The entire team's a question mark because Bryce Perkins was literally their entire offense last season.
Yeah.
So, they're just – and them and Pitt are probably the two teams that I'm the most the least educated on our schedule.
You know what? I need to end this on a good note, so I'm going to call this as one of our blowout games, man.
Yeah, I'm completely fine with that. Okay, score prediction, go.
48-7.
Wow. Wow. All right, I'm going to say 38-7.
Okay.
All right, we're 6-1 heading into the bye week. How about that?
Yeah, we're ranked – I'm going to say we're ranked 13th or 14th at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's ambitious.
I mean, I think 6-1 with our only loss to Clemson beating Louisville, I think that's worthy of 14th.
Well, it also depends on how we win these other games.
For sure. I'm just calling it as I've predicted, you know, because I have us beating Louisville by – I guess only like four, but pretty much everyone else by double score, you know, more than one score. So,
yeah,
pretty comfortable.
We're being very generous to our Canes tonight, honestly.
We are.
Like, I haven't seen too many blowout victories in my lifetime as a Hurricanes fan, but I really think that Virginia is a team that we can soundly beat this season, and there's no reason we shouldn't. I think, They are not projected to have a very good year. It makes me cry because I love Bronco so much.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Bronco Mendenhall, man. Okay. I think that was a pretty good preview, man.
I agree. Good stuff.
And you said you're going out of town. Where are you going, Jordan?
I'm going to St. George.
Oh, God.
I love St. George, dude. And I feel like no one outside of Utah knows how amazing it is, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Are you not a St. George guy?
Well, here, I hate it. I hate St. George.
You always go down, though. You go down like four times a year.
Oh, yeah, four squared. I go down there like, dude, when I was in high school, I used to go to there like, oh my God, an iguana just ran past me. I almost had a heart attack. holy shit. Oh my God.
Things that I've never heard in Utah before in my life.
Yeah. Bro, because I'm sitting outside, I'm afraid like a python is going to come out and eat me.
Or an alligator. I don't do reptiles, man. That's why I like living in the mountains, because I do not like reptiles.
The only animal I like are dogs. I just don't like dogs. Or, I mean, I just don't like animals. Like, they're dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to St. George. I'm in Florida. We're just enjoying summer right now, man.
We are. Dude, why do we both travel to places hotter than Utah or Salt Lake when Salt Lake is already an oven?
It is so hot here. I don't understand it. Like, I come to Florida all the time. Like, I grew up here. It is so hot. It blows my mind. Like the other day, I think it was yesterday, in the temperature thing where it says what it feels like, it was like 104. With you, I'm sitting outside, I'm sweating my ass off.
Oh my gosh. So I'm looking at the weather for St. George right now. So if you guys don't know, St. George is in southern Utah. That's like the Red Rock Desert type stuff. Everything is orange down there.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Very beautiful. But it is hot. It's like full blown. Is that the Mojave Desert? I'm pretty sure it's part of the Mojave Desert. But no, it is full blown desert.
I think it's just on the outskirts of the Mojave Desert.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, it is full blown desert. Let's see. So, yeah, the weather forecast for the next week while I'm there, 103, 104, 104, 104. But, dude, listen to this. If I was going next week, it's 110 degrees for like four straight days.
Well, I'll never forget. I was in St. George one time, and it was July. I think I was there for some family thing. And the reason I go down there all the time is that's where my mom's from. That's where my dad's family's from. Like, there's so many – there's so many Thomases down there. Like,
yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there in the, it was when I was a kid, and I was in the parking lot at a grocery store. It was 114.
Jeez.
And I was Hi. Why does anyone? Why do you live here?
Yep. So the forecast for tomorrow, when I roll into town, it'll be about 104 degrees, but only 6% humidity. Huh. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take the dry heat over the humidity. I can't walk a half a block here without sweating. I'm like, girls see me here and they're like, "What? Does he have a problem? Like, is he okay?" Oh,
dude, that's me. That's me everywhere I go. Just from June to August, I'm a sweaty guy. I'm one of those sweaty guys.
Me too, man. And I hate it.
It's a good thing my hair and my beard are so beautiful because I'm a sweaty guy.
Yeah, I you have good facial hair. I have to shave because I don't think I've ever been uglier in my life right now. I look like hell. Hey,
man. Are you wearing tanks down there, though? Are you showing off the howitzers?
No, I am not because I forgot my tanks at home. But I am stopping by Caneswear this week. I'm going to get some stuff. And before we log off, why don't you should we talk about what we're trying to do with some – we're trying to get some businesses involved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Marsh and I have been exploring getting some sponsors here on the pod. So if any of you out there, you'd like to hear your company's name on the Fours Up podcast, or you have friends, you know, that might be interested, definitely hit us up. You know, we'd love to get some companies involved, you know, and I mean, yeah, man, we can, make some money off this thing so we can pay for us to go out and, you know, see Miami Hurricanes games.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're also just trying to, I mean, if you're a South Florida business or a business anywhere and you want to get your name out there, you know, we're more than willing to help you guys out. You know, you help us out, we help you out. So we can't thank you guys enough. It's been just such an incredible, I say this every, I tweeted halfway through the episode that, that, this is one of our best episodes ever just because I just love this podcast so much. And then Andrew, my guy, Andrew 17, you know, fan of the show, really good guy. He tweeted back, says, "You literally say that every episode." And I can't help it, man, because I really, I love this show. And I think we do a good job and still don't have a microphone, but, but
you don't need it.
I'm so excited for what we got building. And so we'll be back in a few days. Is there anything else we need to cover?
No, man, I think we're good.
Oh yeah. And also, before we go, big shout out to, thank you to Mike McCoy for helping me out with an episode last week while Jordan was away.
Oh, yeah.
Love Mike.
For sure. Thanks, Mike. Love you. We should plug the radio stuff.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So Marsh and Mike, you guys talked about it last week, right? You know, Mike has the Mike McCoy show, and you're a very heavy participant in that, right? I mean, I don't want to, you know, overshare what's going on there, but you know, you were on that, and are you going to be on it again tomorrow?
I don't think I'll be on it tomorrow. Well, it's hard when you don't have a phone.
Yeah, makes sense.
Me and Mike have. We haven't been able to be in contact, but yeah, whenever he needs me, I'll do it. And
cool.
And but the big news is you and Co, man.
Yeah, yeah. So Derek Co and I have the Cane Gang show. I mean, you guys know Co; he's been on here 4 or 5 times. That comes on Fridays on Slam Radio. So that's channel 145 Sirius XM. That airs Fridays at 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Florida time. So that's Eastern time. So yeah, make sure you're watching for me and Marsh elsewhere, man. We're branching out. We're, you know, slowly we're going to create a Canes media empire.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, hopefully one of these days you guys will hear me on South Florida Sports Radio too. The dream is, I'm still pushing along with that. So
yeah.
Jordan and I started this show. I didn't think it would take off like it did. And I'm so grateful and so blessed that it has. And so
dude,
we're just going to keep going along.
It's just a matter of time, my dude. Like, I don't know. Next time I go down to Florida, I'm just going to walk in their office and be like, "Hey guys, what's the deal?" You know, like we know, we both know why I'm here.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. Okay. Well, hey, great show. I loved this show. So we'll see you guys in a couple days. Go Canes, baby.
Go Canes, man.
This has been the Forza Podcast.